John, who do we used to call you in high school? Freddie Prinze Jr., dude. That's how you're looking right now.
Freddie Pimple Jr. Remember?
That is a classic good high school burn. Freddie Pimple Jr. Yeah.
I think I overheard it too. I think I didn't.
No, you didn't get it direct?
Yeah, I was like, what? Freddie Pimple Jr. I'm kidding.
Note, I looked great. Chick passed you a note. That picture of a guy with a massive zit on his nose.
So Freddie Pimple Jr.
We are checking vibes right now. We are on the Brothers Turner podcast with I'm checking in from Breckenridge, Colorado.
Oh man, beautiful.
With close friend of the Brothers Turner. Closer with John, probably an actual brother of John, but I think that we're all family at this point.
100%
Dan Parsons. Dan Parsons in the building. If anybody's watching on YouTube, you can obviously see his beautiful face. Dan, say what up.
What up, listeners?
What's Gucci?
What is
good? What up, Snips?
What up, brother?
So
feels good.
Real quick, we're obviously on a trip right now, but you guys have known each other. This is a friendship. This is a real friendship.
This goes back a long ways. When did we meet, Dan?
Dude, we are dating back to. Did you go to Montgomery Elementary?
Yeah.
Oh, you better believe.
Were you a Project Explorer?
I was Project Explorer. Come on.
All right. So like we didn't have like real connection path, but I think our first path was like. Project Explorer. I was not Project Explorer. Somewhere probably.
Oh, you were not Project Explorer
on the playground. No.
That actually.
I'll tell you what you were. Your pants were huge. I do remember that. You were rocking the JNCO jeans, and the what were the skateboard
First of all,
shoes?
Clarification. I was not rocking JNCO jeans.
Or you.
However, I probably had some baggy ass pants.
Okay, baggy ass pants. I didn't know.
I was a semi-pro skateboarder when I was like 12 years old. So.
You're Rob Dyrdek.
Yeah, it was Rob Dyrdek. I passed on that sponsorship, actually.
So you guys...
But yeah, we go way back. Way back.
So Cincy Ties, and we are currently on a trip in Colorado, that unfortunately, things happened, COVID, stuff like that. It didn't time out where Johnny could come with us.
John's a founding member.
Of the squad.
Yeah, a founding member.
Absolutely,
of the sweat.
Yeah.
So the squad that we started 2 years ago was myself, John, Dan... and Andy all went to Yosemite National Park, which we probably talked about many times. And we called ourselves Yo Sweat.
Yo Sweat with me.
Also, John started the Yo Sweat. We started calling John Yo Sweat with me because he used to wear a Yosemite shirt in the summer in Phoenix.
Who wears a shirt in
a long
summer
shirt.
In the Phoenix?
Yeah.
When at that time I was at a weight where it was more like I might wear a shirt before I get in the pool. You know what I mean? Lost some of that weight, but
yeah, now he's flexed the six pack and
I'm like, no six pack, but I definitely needed a shirt in the pool back then.
So in the pool,
you're yeah,
pool shirt guy.
No, not in the. I mean, I take it off to get in, but right when you get out, you know, you put the shirt right back on. You're like, hey, where's my shirt and my towel?
So John's wearing a long sleeve Yosemite shirt in August in Phoenix one time, and he was sweating so hard when we were playing beer pong. And you know me with I feel I have relatively quick wit sometimes, but it did take me about 20 minutes to realize that his nickname for the night as he's sweating through his Yosemite shirt was Yo Sweat With Me.
Yeah, so,
so we started grilling him with Yo Sweat With Me. And then we started calling Yosemite Yo Sweat With Me.
And then it does make sense even more so when you go there and you're like, you're going to go hiking. It is kind of like, yo, sweat with me. Like, let's go, like, let's go out there and sweat this shit out. Yeah.
Yo, comma, sweat with me.
I just want to say there are no other guys that I would rather sweat with.
Ooh. 100%. Yeah. Well, yeah. All right.
What
but
other
yeah,
guys
I mean,
would you sweat with?
Joey Votto, 2012.
Ooh, oh, wow. A little after the MVP year was 2010.
But you know what I'm saying? That's when we needed him. Actually, he got hurt in San Francisco that year. 2012. Sorry. Let's not bring it back.
In 2012, but I would have sweat with him still.
I would like to, first of all, it's so good to actually get to see you guys and we get to do this because I'm not going to lie, if I was a dinosaur, I would be a Saltosaurus Rex because I am salt as fuck, dude. I'm so salt. I'm Salty Dog Cafe over here. I wish I was there so bad.
Well, so this goes back to as far as like early this year, maybe we started planning that we would all go to Yosemite in August. Mm-hmm. Out of this year,
dude, I would say this. No, planning
like
started
last
end
year.
Of last year.
We're planning talking. Started end of Yosemite trip. We're like, we're coming back.
October last year. We're jumping in.
We left Yosemite and said, when can we get back to Yosemite? And so we as a crew, same squad, and we added a dude named Evan. We don't have
Ooh, E-Love, Pearson.
Who is a good addition to the squad. We can hard vouch, I think, after this weekend. Yeah. He's really elevated the team. He's made guacamole.
Good guacamole.
good chef. Evan is a good chef.
He made eggs and the sausage the other day. But so we all were going to go to Yosemite.
Just describing breakfast. Yeah. Eggs every and then like there's some sausage. He had forks. He brought forks out of a drawer. We ate on plates.
He doesn't add anything beyond.
He ordered this
breakfast. Yeah, that's all he does.
And so we as a crew were going to go to Yosemite in August of this year. And obviously, we actually had this planned up until like literally July. And then Yosemite started closing
COVID fucked us.
COVID fucked us, yeah. And Corona. But it was touch and go. It was like, was it going to be open? Was it going to be closed? And then it ended up, I went back to work and had to do, you know what I mean? Got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Went back to work, but really, oh, dude, so salt. You know when you're salty and you're like, you're trying to act like you're not salty. That was me at like work the other day. I was like, I'm so fucking salty that I'm not on a mountain in Breckenridge, Colorado right now.
Oh, dude. Heavy.
But it's all good. The salt calcium went away. High sodium diet. Yeah.
Well, I will say we miss you, brother. And I will say it is not the same. So the trip is
miss you guys too.
Complete. So next year we'll do it.
Not the same.
Yeah, but we'll get it done for sure.
But also we got a SUV that sat five, sat four comfortably.
That's true.
And we were thinking about it the other day. If you were here physically, this Nissan Rogue would have been, it would have been a Nissan Reckless, dude.
That's true. I'm glad you guys sat comfortably.
We would have gone fully Rogue.
Well, we got a dog with us too. So it's not just the human.
Oh yeah, dude, double dog. Yeah,
with dog.
Oh my God. Yeah,
and this dog is not chill.
No, dude, not at all. One of the least chill dogs.
John knows dog intimately.
All right.
Actually, yeah, I don't know if the listeners are going to enjoy this, but what you sent a video, Dan, of you guys hiking, and he, the dog is strapped to our friend's belt. And when I went hiking up in Sedona one time with them, and I literally, the whole time you said it in the video, you were like, don't pull Andy off the mountain. I literally was hiking behind them. Numerous times I was like, dude, this dog is going to pull him off of this mountain. Like numerous times. I was like, that is so funny. You noticed that.
Yeah, I did. Speaking of
that dog's reckless.
Speaking of mountains though. So you got a video of us doing that. We were on, I did my first, but Dan's second, 14,000 foot peak. So that was one of the things.
Dude. How cool is that?
We flexed from Yosemite to Breckenridge, Colorado, which is where we are now. And there's a bunch of 14ers in Colorado. So yeah, we hiked that. That was, I thought I was going to die two or three times, just breathing wise. Yeah,
it's so hard to breathe up there.
I couldn't breathe
for
a little bit.
The oxygen deficiency is real.
Really real. Doing both, Dan.
We did ask each other many times, why is it colder on the top of a mountain when you're closer to the sun?
Yeah, do you know this?
When you're closer to the sun, I don't know the answer to that. I would guess the thin air has something to do with it. It has to. I don't know, though.
Thin air is the answer.
That's a real answer. Atmosphere.
Atmosphere was the answer.
You're getting closer to space. It's very cold in space.
You know what? That actually is good science. I've seen gravity.
That checks out. I guess that checks out.
That is cold.
Well, do you guys have the answer, or did you guys look it up or anything?
Looked it up, Dan.
Yeah, I knew the answer the whole time.
Right.
That's the best.
I was just waiting for you guys to get there. Yeah, for you to catch up. What is the answer?
Because of the there's less atmosphere at a higher altitude, so
thinner air.
So the heat escapes quicker.
Yeah.
Ah.
So lower the heat's captured and it sticks.
More atmosphere
when you're up. It's more fluent, so the heat comes and goes quicker.
I'm going to stick with my answer of thinner air. Yeah.
And I don't think you're wrong. I actually think that's closer to our friend Andy said five different things, but claims he's still correct.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Climate, yeah, I know that move.
Elevation. He pretty much threw out five boldly vague answers.
He's a lawyer. He knows what to do. I said that first. Yeah,
it's true.
We would call that gaslighting.
Do you know the definition of being gaslit, John? This has been a theme this week.
No, I don't. I'm going to be honest.
So gaslighting is when I know the answer. I tell him that he doesn't know the answer.
Right.
But you actually know that you're not wrong, but I tell you that my truth is more true than your truth. And then you start questioning that
your own truth.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah. I've known you a long time. You're Mr. Gaslight, dude.
Yo, do you know what?
You are gaslit as fuck.
That checks out. We've called him on his gaslight.
1000%, dude. Oh my God. That's going to be on your fucking tombstone, dude. Gaslighter of the fucking year.
We've had this conversation.
He had me gaslighted. John, what year was Amber's the Color of Your Energy? What year was that released by 311?
Like 2005.
Okay, so there's not a 19 in front of that, is there?
No, that's 2000 or 2003 or 2002, something like that.
Okay. All right. So he's not telling this in all of its clarity.
He's saying.
Now you're doing it again. You're gaslighting.
I'm being actively G-lit in front of my family. Right now. So I don't appreciate that. I'm being gaslit.
Right. No, yeah. Well, maybe you're wrong. Do you ever consider that?
Here's the G-light that you just got, dude. He didn't tell you that he also firmly claimed that it was released in 2014. Which is wildly inaccurate.
I actually made the bet that it wasn't in the 90s.
But you it was in the 90s?
Yeah, and you said 1993. I recorrected too hard.
This is amazing. Now I wish I was there, and also I'm like, this would get pretty old pretty quick. I'm kind of glad I'm in Phoenix.
Well, here's another.
Click this hang-up button, you'd be like.
Right, you're just like, okay, yeah, I'm right, boom.
So here's another gaslight situation that you know, I was proven wrong on in front of my peers.
Second gaslight.
Hang on, Dan, you can answer this. When he was proven wrong, was it okay I was wrong, or was it wrong but? There's a but behind wrong but.
He immediately came
out. Goes to but, yeah.
So the bet was, I said.
No, hold on, because me and John have had this conversation before. Let's ask John how.
Geeking.
How big this is,
Mike? Though. I believe he asked me a question.
All right, hold on. Tell
him. I asked Dan a question. Yeah, Dan, right. Please.
So the bet was, which he actually lost $10 on this bet.
Betting money, I like it.
Yeah. So the bet was that Amber is the Color of Your Energy. Amber, the song by 311. Yeah. I said, I will bet you that that song was not released in the 90s, and he said, I will bet a large amount of money. So I'd actually bring him down to earth and say that
I don't want to take your money, yeah.
Mike, that is, and one at some previous point, we were spitballing on when it was actually released, and I said, you know, I'm just saying, like, I think it was pretty late, maybe 10 years ago. I said 2014 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so the conversation continued. I brought him back to earth.
Mm-hmm.
We did the bet. And then lost.
Straight up.
And then immediately he said, dude, but you
But you were wrong, too. But you were wrong, too. Oh, yeah. It's classic
stuff.
Who's more wrong? Or who's more right? Also, the more frustrating one is when you both agree and he wants to be more right. That one's really frustrating.
More
correct.
He is always correct.
Here's another one that was a gaslight situation that I stumbled into, and I think I lost. I don't know if we bet on this one or not, but John and I have talked about this before, and this is the question then. How much do you think a bobcat weighs?
Much do I think a bobcat weighs? Yeah.
I say about bobcats?
It's like a small dog.
See, I said it was like a small dog.
Yeah.
Which is true, but I mean, I think it's...
I said he's like golden retriever. I probably enhanced the dog.
Oh, no. It's more like a border collie, or maybe even a little bit smaller than that.
It's like Andy.
But it's a big. I think this is how dumb the argument is. I literally only said like it's a big cat, and Mike said no, it's a small dog. That's how dumb the argument is. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I wasn't like looking for an argument. I was just like, yeah, that's a huge cat. Like, look at that bobcat. And he's like, it's more like a small dog. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
So I stood my ground. I've died on this hole.
You would die on a bunch of hills, bud.
I was telling him a story of where I actually saw a bobcat.
Yeah, real proof.
With my own eyes. And I said, it's actually like a large house cat.
Yeah, it's a big cat.
I think it's still inaccurate.
It's a big house cat. It's not like a big like wild animal cat. It's like a big... You know,
it's like the biggest. It's like the biggest cat you've ever seen, in the biggest house cat you've ever seen. Cat. Yeah,
like Felix, like the fat cat that you're.
Yeah,
Garfield.
Had. Yeah,
yeah.
Either way, it looks like I'm not missing anything. This is all the same conversation. Yeah.
So I stood my ground on dog again. I even went as far to say, I think I said 50 to 60 pounds.
You said 50 to 60 pounds.
Oh, God. Yeah, there we go. You go.
That's where I should have walked that back.
Walked away.
You know, it's okay to say you're wrong or that you don't know, Mike.
Also, can I say I was at high elevation. I just peaked.
Yeah, there we go. Excuse city, dude.
I just climbed two
deflection section, dude. What section in the plane were you on? The deflection section on the right end?
So I was also, I'd never peaked 14,000 feet before.
First time.
A
okay.
lot of
I get it. A lot of factors.
A lot of variables.
Dan, did you, doing both quandary, we hiked quandary a few years ago with the Brecken crew. Shout out Brecken crew. That was a great time. Doing both, which one would you say was harder? Which one did you enjoy more?
Ooh.
Mainly harder. I think quandary is ranked as like one of the easier 14ers.
The quandary was more eventful because weather was a real input.
Yeah, that was cool.
What was it, raining?
No, snowing.
It was windy. It was like a storm. It was like a winter storm.
What month was this?
October.
October's late.
It was October, yeah?
Yeah, it was right over my birthday.
It was his birthday.
Oh, you're right. We did your birthday's dinner. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I barely remember that. I'm kidding. It was
yeah, maybe I don't. I mean,
that was the thing.
We talked about it. quandary was a more – quandary was also more painful. I would say this one was more enjoyable. The actual, like, if I looked at the whole stretch of the hike.
Mm-hmm.
Because what was quandary like? The elevation gain was like,
well, quandary was you were in the trees, so you didn't have like the benefit of the views.
Yeah.
And then like once you broke past the tree line, it was a very aggressive elevation climb, and that's just torture, one step after the other. Once you pass 13,000 feet, it's just like,
yeah,
we took a step, take a breath.
We were pretty much above tree line whole time.
Yeah, whole time. We were
oh, like, really?
And it was nice. Open, like a meadow scene. So it was like beautiful views.
And then there's like a saddle from what it looks like you can do two peaks, right? You could like walk to one,
and
walk
then,
to the next.
And so looking at the saddle from the beginning of the trail, you're like, oh, that's easy. That's
always. That's the funniest moment where you're like, this is nothing. I mean, we might as well like let's get dinner reservations ready because we'll be back in an hour. I don't know.
Oh, dude. Oh, LTE coverage was humming on top. We were, also, I FaceTimed you. You did not pick up.
Yeah, I was at work.
That is a personal attack. I've written that down. I back pocketed that. But
Dan, can you put him in check?
But I
knock him out. Now
right. Okay. Me, John, and Dan, let's go.
But right, because Andy had done it before, and he was like, do you guys want to go back down? Because we already summited 114er and not do the second one. And we were like, yeah, let's do it. We thought it'd be easy. Did that second summit was probably
–
I immediately regret it. I think Andy might have been on to something.
Maybe you should have trusted the only guy who's done it.
The only guy that had ever done it. We were like, let's dismiss this information.
Yeah, I don't think so. We got this.
Yeah, that was sucked. That was when I probably almost died.
You're gaslighting on top of a mountain. That's amazing.
Yeah, there was G lights going on up there for sure. But
did you guys go into town at all?
Last night.
Are you like in town?
Town's a little light. Town's a little light.
Yeah, Rona's hitting everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, we got some spots like Celia's, you know, John. We were
Celia's, I know it well.
We know it well. But yeah, I mean it's pretty light. Everyone's sitting out on the streets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, not a lot of town action. Mainly just a lot of euchre action, dude, to be honest.
And
you guys in the house playing cards?
Yeah.
Do that. John, ask the question.
Taught your boy how to play euchre.
I've never played. I don't know how to play euchre. Yeah, that's awesome. You know how to play now? You got to teach me.
I might be teaching these guys soon.
Oh, is he any good?
Dan, you want Dan? Defer to Dan on this. Am I good?
Is he any good?
Oh yeah, I mean he barely knows how to play.
Dan, did we really put Dan's mind in a pretzel there? Good.
4-0.
No, well, he said he was good at euchre, and I was confused because we just taught him how to play.
Oh, okay. Undefeated. Also undefeated. Haven't lost yet.
I know how to play. Isn't it a team game?
Spades-ish. Yeah, it's like, you remember spades at all?
I can play spades. It's similar.
It's books and comparable. Sets. With less cards and a couple other things going on.
But he is undefeated. Nice. That's real.
I'm undefeated.
Okay. Nice.
5-0.
So a lot of just chilling at the cribbo. You guys got a nice view there?
A lot of cribble. Yeah, we have a decent view.
We got a hot tub.
We got a tub, dude.
You guys roll tub?
With changing light colors.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You guys have really stepped up.
That's been big. And then what was the other thing I was going to say? Oh, we went mountain biking today.
How was that? I've never done that.
I was not great at it.
I mean, we're all rookies. We're all learning.
I fell twice.
He did fall twice.
Did everybody fall or just you?
It was a personal thing.
No one's going to gaslight you about that.
Yeah. So I took a couple L's on the blue trail.
You do have a gnarly battle wound, though.
I've got a puncture wound in my shin right now.
Damn. All right. That's a real fall.
But I came to play today. I think I knew that this was a game that mattered. Playoff push. I've been watching the bubble. I've been watching the basketball in the bubble, and I realized that, some of us are just like Paul George. There's just a couple of bad days, a couple of dark days, but push through.
Hit playoff P. I like that.
Got salt that all the games were canceled today, so he showed up like a champion.
Yeah.
There you go. Somebody had to show up. Yeah. I like that.
But other than that, yeah, everything's been good. You've been good back in AZ? Everything's lovely?
Just trying to stay cool, man. It's a hot one out here. But, yeah, back to work, which was I haven't worked in a long time. So it was like, we're back to work. But that was good. It was fun. Just chilling, man. Trying to beat the heat.
And you got Neil Young, I see. When did you get that photo, though? You got Neil Young in the background. Anybody watching on YouTube?
That's the album. Album cover.
Harvest Moon.
I have two. And the actually, when you bought, this is a funny story. I remember you bought like 1,000 records or something from somebody you worked with.
Shout out to Dan Stevens.
I actually have those records.
Yeah, you do.
So a lot of I already had Harvest Moon.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But it was like he bought the box like just like, here, take all these records without looking through it. This dude has like maybe 300 Barbra Streisand records. So I'm like I went through like a whole box and I was like, what is going on? Like, I don't even want these Barbra Streisand records. But
Jefferson too.
Oh, there's a bunch of really good ones. But there's a whole box of Barbra Streisand records. But I have a bunch of doubles, like records I already had and then records that came in that box. So I put my new Young Harvest album cover up on the wall there.
That's good. That's big flex.
That's sick.
It's huge.
I like it. And then the other thing too, we wanted to connect with Dan before this trip is a monumental. It might be his last trip before official fatherhood.
Dude, have to be Papa so crazy. Parsons.
That's accurate.
That's so nuts, man. Yeah, that's one thing I really wanted. I wish I could have been there for it because I know of course we're going to see each other again. But, you know, those things, as a single man, those things change when the baby comes into play. You know what I mean? You got to focus on that. So I was really wishing I could have been there. But, dude, you're going to be the best dad ever.
Appreciate that, man. I think
100%.
Dude, we'll find Uncle John time and Uncle Mike time.
There we go. That'll be good.
There's a lot to do in the Bay.
Absolutely.
And he needs some good role models, so we need to get you.
There we go. Oh yeah, fun Uncle John. Let's get serious. And then I hand the baby back and say, "You deal with that. I'm gonna go get an IPA."
The Funkle, yeah.
John's a good Funkle for sure. Out the womb, a Funkle.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so it's been good to just kind of get that in. Obviously, Dan won't change as a good person. We know him with the kid, but also life changes. So it's good to get this in. And also, you've been here in spirit for sure.
Absolutely.
All positive things we've talked about.
All positive, bro.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, no negatives.
But
yeah, man, this was good. This was fun. I'm glad. I feel like I was there with you at least for a little bit. This is good.
Yeah, this is one of our shorter episodes, anybody listening, but we just wanted to check in with
yeah, you guys are on vacation, dude. Get that vibe going. What's the fucking vibe like?
Yeah, this is our last night, so you know it'll be a little funky. Probably bumping, I think, Revolution's entire discography.
That's a Pearson call. Pearson loves Revolution.
Yeah, we're in Colorado, so we'll be bumping a lot of Revolution tonight. But either way, I love you. Want to check
I love you too.
Love you, brother.
All right. Love you, Dan. See you, bro. You done?